Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Amos 5:24. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream.
It's not a war on women. We're helping them to become, in a more full way, what they were made to be, wives and mothers.
So he's really saying to the lawyer, if you're looking for who you've got to love perfectly, it's everyone. But you're not going to be saved that way. The law's going to beat you up and leave you in the ditch. The only way you can be saved is not to go find neighbors, but to be found by the one who has mercy.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steelworker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
We have heard often the phrase that Islam is a religion of peace, and for peace to exist for any in any real sense, for any real amount of time, we know what has to happen. There has to be mercy and forgiveness. Now, oddly, forgiveness is not an idea foreign to Islam as a religion, although if you read the headlines, you might wonder if it is an idea of Islam at all. So what is the Islamic idea of forgiveness, both divine and human? We'll be answering that question here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome live on this Monday afternoon, September the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Adam Francisco will join us for the first half hour or so. We'll talk about forgiveness in Islam, do a little comparison and contrast with the same concept in Christianity. Then Dr. David Scare will be our guest. The church is remembering on this day Matthew the Apostle, one of the 12 disciples and apostles of Jesus Christ, and one of the authors in the New Testament of one of the four Gospels. At least many believe he is the author. We'll see what Dr. David Scare has to say about that in the next half hour of Issues Etc. In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker will join us. He's host of a radio show called Long Gospel. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be continuing the story of Joseph. In this case, the longer end of that Joseph story really is all about Joseph conniving to forgive his brothers. We'll find out all about it in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Dr. Adam Francisco is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about the idea of forgiveness in Islam. Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California, and author of the book Martin Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
How big of a theme is forgiveness in Islam as a whole?
Well, that's a big question in Islam. It should be a big theme because it's a pretty big theme in the Quran, both God's forgiveness and human forgiveness. But you don't hear it talked about that much amongst Muslims. In fact, I did a quick cruise through the indices of several books I have on the Quran and Islamic theology, and all but one of those books had any entry on forgiveness, interestingly enough. So there's, you know, we're talking, boy, dozens and dozens of chapters in the Quran on that topic.
Let's break it down into two different things, kind of divine forgiveness and then the forgiveness that is the duty of the Muslim. First, with regard to the deity of Islam, of Allah, how would you summarize the Quranic material on Allah's forgiveness?
Well, one of the names of Allah, there are 99 of them, and one of them is the forgiving one, or the most forgiving, Al-Ghafur. And in the Quran, over the course of the dozens of passages that refer to him forgiving, it's almost as if he forgives as he wills. He's not bound to forgive. We're told in the Quran says he does forgive, but you don't know how or in what way is he does he forgive all sin or does he forgive one sin? If you ask, it's pretty undefined in the Quranic text. In short, though, the forgiveness one receives from Allah in the Islamic system is very capricious. You can't count on that forgiveness.
So while it might be something that Allah is described as doing, is it considered to be essential to his character? That is, he is as the we would say of the triune God, it is part of his essence to show mercy.
Yeah, Muslims are usually resistant to talking about the essence of Allah. They'll just simply talk about the names, which are sort of the or connected to his character. So it's hard to answer that question because Allah is not one who you can count on for forgiveness. That is part of just who he is. But he will forgive when he so desires. It's almost like the God of philosophical voluntarism, where God, whatever God wills, and whenever he wills it, that's when forgiveness is given. But you can't, it's not associated with any particular event. There's no no absolution given in Islam. It's a hope, if you will, that you might be forgiven by Allah. But there's no way you could know from the human perspective whether he has forgiven you or not.
So the most you could possibly say is he's certainly able to and can and might. That's about all that you can say.
Yeah, that's a good way to break it down. Yeah.
Is that part of if that kind of struggle that we have as Christians looking from the outside in to Islam, is part of that symptom of a bigger issue with Islam, and that is its conception of God is in many ways very, very different than that.
Yeah.
Not only in the particulars like the Trinitarian nature, but as how they conceive of a deity is different than that of Christian revelation.
Absolutely. In Islam, God is, his transcendence is always emphasized. There's a passage in the Quran that refers to Allah being as close to you and me as our jugular vein, but that's often taken to be a reference to his knowledge of everything we do and our disposition. So he's outside. He can't even, in the Islamic system, Allah doesn't even enter into time and space except for sending down his word through prophetic revelation. But he's largely aloof of human activity, it seems.
What about human forgiveness, the other aspect that we're going to discuss here before we get into, say, trying to compare and contrast it with Christianity? What in the Quranic material, how is human forgiveness described?
Well, the Quran does enjoin Muslims to forgive others, and it's most of the time referring to other Muslims. But there's several, maybe a dozen passages or so where it encourages Muslims to forgive others, to deal kindly with others, including, at least in one place in the Quran, Christians and Jews. You don't see that as the normal disposition in Islam through the centuries, at least in Orthodox Islam. Though you can find Muslims who kind of are outliers in Orthodoxy, who will emphasize that Muslims are to forgive not just other Muslims but other people who aren't Muslims. But the doctrine of human forgiveness is oftentimes overshadowed by the doctrine of loyalty and enmity, which says when Muslims are given or have a choice before them, they're always to prefer Muslims than non-Muslims, even if the non-Muslim might be, ethically speaking, better than the Muslim. And so, I mean, there are Muslim authors out there. There's one here in Orange County who's written a piece on forgiveness in Islam, and he appeals to the Muslim community to, in a sense, recover this doctrine of both human and divine forgiveness because it's been so obfuscated over the course of Islamic theology.
You mentioned with respect to the Islamic view of divine forgiveness, it's really arbitrary. There's no stated basis, for which Allah would be forgiving or forgive any particular sins or anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of just acts according to divine caprice, perhaps. It's the best we can do. With regard to the Islamic view on human forgiveness, is there any basis for which, I'm thinking to contrast it with the apostles' injunction, forgive as Christ forgave you. There's the basis for Christian forgiveness. Is there anything corresponding to that in Islam?
No, not really. And in fact, when it comes to human forgiveness, when the Quran does enjoin Muslims to forgive others, it's for the benefit of the one who forgives, so that Allah will look more favorably upon you. There is no forgiveness just for the sake of forgiveness. There's always strings attached, so to speak.
Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk about whether or not Islam has anything parallel to when someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. Stay tuned.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. ClassicalSpecialNeeds.com.
What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Shave, Director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. Our inner cities and Mission Field USA are groaning for the gospel. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, October 12th through 14th, we will present Stand Firm in the City, an urban ministry conference with great speakers and discussions. For information on Stand Firm in the City, call 260-452-2204 or check out ctsfw.edu/urban-ministry-conference-2015.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the idea of forgiveness in Islam. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest, Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California. We were talking before about the kind of the basis for forgiveness. Let's talk about a few of the ideas that parallel the Christian notion of forgiveness, kind of the axioms that go along with an ethic of forgiveness. For instance, probably the most famous one, the words of Christ, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn also to them the other. Is there a parallel to that in Islam?
Well, you know, the Muslims would be divided on this, that they're the one, if you, more progressive, moderate-minded Muslims would probably emphasize it, an ethic of forgiveness, but they are... they're oftentimes drowned out. Their voice is drowned out by the Orthodox crowd, who would have different emphases. So you will find, and again, this isn't necessarily theology, but just sociology in Muslim communities. Some Muslim communities who are very generous to others, such that they forgive others for maybe. Slandering or bearing false witness against us Muslims, at least from their perspective. But by and large, those who are part of this, if you will, the global Islamic ummah, the global Islamic community, and orientate their life around historic, traditional Islamic principles, that is not the norm. It's not necessarily an ethical disposition of theirs, though it arguably it should be. It's simply not.
What about love your enemies? Jesus kind of takes the, you have heard it said, love those who love you and hate those who hate you. I say love your enemies. Extend, not just, you know, feel kindly disposed toward them, but actually pray for them and do good to them. What about in Islam?
Yeah, you don't find that at all in Islam. There was, this may be going back 7 or 8 years now, an attempt, and it's actually become quite widespread by Muslims out of Jordan, you know, 130 plus of them, scholars from around the Muslim world who got together and wrote a document addressing the Pope and every head of every Christian body, saying that Muslims and community or Muslims and Christians need to get along for the sake of world peace. And one of the ways, or one of the reasons why they can get along, is because they both share the principle of loving one's neighbor as oneself. And obviously, that's in Christianity, but you don't find that anywhere in the Quranic text. At best, the Quran would say, "Love your Muslim neighbor." Maybe love, if you have to choose between a kind Christian and a Muslim who might be your enemy because of nationalist reasons or something like that, you're still to prefer the Muslim over and against non-Muslims. So it's kind of tricky. When Muslim theologians, when the Quran says something like forgive or be kind to your neighbors, it's specific to your Muslim neighbors, not to just any neighbor.
So that seems to be a major difference here between between Christianity and Islam with respect to kind of the ethic of forgiveness, which is Islam seems to be, and you've mentioned it several times, seems to be far more focused on intra-Muslim relationships, whereas Christianity
Absolutely.
Does not make that distinction at all.
Absolutely. The Quran refers to the Muslim community as the Ummah, and also calls the Muslim Ummah the best community on earth. And the whole telos, the end or the goal of Islam from the Quranic text through all the theorizers of Islam through the ages is the establishment of a global Ummah such that all institutions and populations will follow suit, are Islamized. And then forgiveness can be practiced, but amongst those living within the Ummah. But the goal is for them all to be Muslim of some sort or another. You don't have Islam typically or historically does not allow for, does not consider a, if you will, a pluralistic community as a good community. The best community, of course, would be a community that's filled with Muslims. Islam and Christianity, these are two completely different systems. They use similar language, but they have entirely different meanings behind the words that they use.
We had talked there about kind of the arbitrary nature of Allah's forgiveness. I would assume then, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the average Muslim faces his last day, judgment day, so to speak, before Allah, completely uncertain as to whether or not anything he's done to offend the deity will be forgiven.
Yeah, and that's the picture you have in the Quran. And the Quran, you know, it is a very difficult text to systematize because it's all over the place and it contradicts itself from one verse to the next. And when it comes to the last day and judgment, the Quran emphasizes that people will be judged on the basis of their good and bad deeds. But elsewhere, the Quran can suggest that it's all already been preordained or predetermined. The way it's normally understood in Muslim communities is that one does the best they can throughout the course of their life, knowing or counting on, at least in their mind, the fact that Allah will forgive some of their mistakes and so on. But ultimately, when you stand before God at the last day, you do not know, you can't know where you're going to end up.
Is it kind of popularly assumed, well, he's going to forgive some, and then he's going to exercise kind of the unmitigated justice with most?
Yeah, well, and you get that in the Quran. You also, there are places in the Quran where it essentially says there will be surprises on the last day. There will be some Muslims who will go to hellfire, and there will be people of the book, Christians and Jews, who will enter paradise. And it really is just a mix mash of stuff that if you're looking to make sense of it and organize it such that there aren't internal contradictions, you're going to be real hard-pressed to do that, because if you emphasize one, you're neglecting other verses. And so that accounts for many of the big divisions in Islam, depending on what verses they'll emphasize over and against others. Historically, Muslims, in organizing their theology, have always given precedence to material in the Quran that is believed to have come later in Muhammad's so-called prophetic ministry. And when you, if you interpret the Quran that way, the doctrine of predestination comes out much stronger than, say, a doctrine when it comes to the last day that says that many people will go to heaven because Allah will forgive, or Allah is going to be all loving on the last day and just sort of pardon sins. But the later material is pretty rigid, pretty strongly determinist, you might say.
There is a concept that both Christianity and Islam have, although they have it in two very different ways, and let's talk about that. It's related to the issue of forgiveness. Christianity has a concept of martyrdom that really is rooted deeply in Christ's own death at the cross. And then I think also biblical examples of martyrdom, particularly of Stephen as well, both die with a prayer of forgiveness for those who are killing them on their lips. How does that differ from with respect to forgiveness in a Islamic view of martyrdom?
Yeah, the Islamic view of martyrdom is very different. An Islamic martyr is one who especially dies in the path of Allah, as it's put, in particular in jihad. That is, in struggling to or striving to either defend as a personal obligation the integrity of Islam, or struggling to advance the cause of Islam in an offensive way as a sort of a collective duty. And an Islamic martyr is one who dies in that jihad. And in the jihad is not seen as necessarily a confession of faith, but an action to avenge something or to overturn something. There's no concept. I can't think of a Quranic passage that would suggest that if you're persecuted, you should pray for your persecutors. At best, the Quran would say if you're persecuted, you should fight your persecutors, and that's about all you get in the Quran on that particular theme.
Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. We're talking about the idea of forgiveness in Islam. It's Monday afternoon, September the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the idea of forgiveness in Islam. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, there are places in the world where the gospel is more or less illegal. There are places in the world where the gospel can only be spoken of secretly and quietly and behind closed doors, lest someone be jailed, or even worse. The threat of Islam to the Christian gospel is real, and it is eminent, and it is found all over the globe. That's why good mission societies like Luther Academy are all the more needed today, where they're serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth with excellent Lutheran resources. You can find out more about Luther Academy on the web, lutheracademy.com, and subscribe to receive Luther Academy's free email newsletter. Also, like them on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Luther Academy. Dr. Francisco, in Christianity, there's a very clear basis for forgiveness, reason why God forgives. It is Christ's death on the cross in the place of sinners, the substitutionary atonement, and his resurrection. That is why God forgives. There's no arbitrary forgiveness in Christianity. Given the fact that that is something that is entirely lacking in Islam, can there be any common ground between these two religions, two ideas of forgiveness?
Yeah, there's no common ground whatsoever. And the Quran, in a sense, kind of parrots the Jewish tradition on this, that one cannot die for the sins of another. The Quran rejects in several places any suggestion of a substitutionary atonement. With regard to Jesus and his death and the salvation won on the cross, the Quran even rejects that Jesus even died on a cross. So I am always befuddled when Christians, maybe they're well-meaning, but when they try to suggest that ultimately, though there's lots of differences in the external trappings, that Christianity and Islam basically come down to the same thing, a religion of forgiveness and salvation. Islam doesn't work that way at all. Luther once put it this way, that Islam is the religion of works righteousness par excellence. And even then, he noted, you don't know if you've ever done enough. Where Christianity, obviously, is very different. You can't do enough, but Christ did it all for you. So the comparison I sometimes make is Islam. In Islam, you've got to do everything for God. In Christianity, it's the other way around. God does everything for you.
When we hear the commonly spoken phrase, Islam is a religion of peace, is there a sense in which that's true and false? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, if Islam is a religion of peace, or a Muslim says it's a religion of peace, that is a traditional-minded Muslim who's not, who actually knows the character and contours of Islamic theology, Islam is a religion of peace only insofar as the telos is a peaceful civilization where all people are under Sharia law, under the leadership of the caliph, the central leader in traditional Islamic polity, and in fact all people are Muslim. So you can say Islam is a religion of peace, but there's a whole lot of stuff that has to take place before it can reach that peace. But when people use that term, from President Clinton up into the current president, I think they misunderstand, and I don't know if it's purposeful, but they certainly confuse matters because there's a lot of stages of expansion and violence and struggle that are necessary to achieve that peace. So, and quite frankly, the term Islam does not mean peace linguistically. It means submission, to submit to a law in everything, every aspect of your life. And then in submitting wholly to a law, maybe you might achieve personal peace, but the civilizational peace won't come until you engage in the struggle to advance Allah's cause everywhere else.
Two final questions for you, Dr. Francisco. You mentioned earlier in our conversation that there's an awful lot of material in the Quran about Muslims forgiving, but it doesn't seem to be a major feature in the way that Islam is practiced. Why do you think that is?
There's a lot of historical reasons. You know, in the 20th century, those who have been interested in being authentically Muslim, if you will, that is, organizing their life from their personal domestic habits to their confession of faith and everything else around Islamic principles, that movement, sometimes called the resurgence of Islam, is a reaction to perceived colonialism after World War I, when Britain and France, Spain, and a little bit of Italy move into what was once the Ottoman Empire and kind of carve up the heartlands of Islam into modern nation states. And so the real traditional-minded Muslims reacted to that and developed this pretty vibrant, historic Islam. But what it was really at, what it was, is just sort of anti-colonialism. And so they emphasized, maybe some would argue overemphasized, that other doctrine in the Quran, that's of the doctrine of loyalty and enmity. And that kind of overshadowed the forgiveness that you're to extend per the Quran to others. And I'm sure there are lots of other historical factors as well. But, it, you know, Fazl ar-Rahman, the great American Muslim scholar of the 20th century, oftentimes emphasized that what is taught by so-called Orthodox Muslims isn't necessarily Orthodox. It's oftentimes shaped by the historical context. And one of the things he did was try to get back to the Quran. He kind of emphasized a Quran only, a solo Quran, if you will, view of Islam. And it's if you take that view of Islam, which there are lots of Muslims who do, the doctrine of human and divine forgiveness from a Muslim perspective actually is quite prominent. But it seems today, Bassam Tibi, a Muslim author, recently wrote a book where he said most of what is regarded as even moderate Islam today isn't moderate, rather it's Islamism, and which is, at least in the 20th century, a reaction to colonialism. So it's almost like contemporary Islam, or at least the one trend in contemporary Islam, overemphasizes some things in the Quran and diminishes or kind of ignores or forgets the other passages in the Quran.
You had mentioned a moment ago that Luther had often expressed his thoughts on Islam. He might have referred to it as the Turk or Mohammedism or something like that by a different name. Do the writings of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, like, for instance, War Against the Turk, do they provide guidance for Christians as they consider the matters of interaction with Islam in the 21st century?
They do, actually. The best work, I think, at least to kind of reflect on for us today, though obviously the context is very different, is a work that's oftentimes translated the Army Sermon or Muster Sermon Against the Turk. That's only recently been translated. Will come out, I think, within the next year in the CPH Luther's Works continuation series. But in that work, Luther actually envisions a future where Germans who are at war with the Ottoman Empire, the Turks, in Luther's day and age, might fall captive to the Turk, taken as POWs or Christian families in Central Europe might be taken captive and sold as slaves in the Muslim world. And Luther gives a whole bunch of advice on how Christians are to then relate to their now Muslim masters if they do fall captive to the Turk. And he encourages, interestingly enough, in this context where the Ottomans are on jihad against Christendom, if you will, and Luther says, if you find yourself amongst the Turks, they're your new masters, they're your new neighbors, and he advances an ethic, you might call it a vocational ethic that says you're to serve your Turkish master faithfully and loyally. And he even encourages Christians not to try to run away, but rather to serve and hopefully, if the opportunity arises, somehow speak the gospel to Muslims. Pretty interesting advice for the time, especially if you compare it to other advice that was penned at the time that encouraged Christians to even commit suicide if they found themselves a captive of the Turk.
Dr. Adam Francisco is Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California. He's authored the book Martin Luther and Islam. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Francisco, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. David Scare will join us. The church is remembering on this day, September the 21st, Matthew the Apostle. He'll help us do so right after this.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin, Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin, Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois, Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland, Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming, Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington, Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois, Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.